Welcome back to What's Ailing America, one of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. On this show, you will hear the truth no matter how against the grain it is. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by the Republic Broadcasting Network, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list. And let me also remind you that I'm a co-host of Two of 5C with Janet Phelan on Saturdays on republicbroadcasting.org at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself. Or we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing, especially with the legion of disinformers out there. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The number to call in is listed on the republicbroadcasting.org website. It is toll-free USA, 800-313-9443. Every week I will answer the question, what's ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we've been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease, and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. And yes, now our country is being ransacked by the banksters, and we're being brought into the New World Order, but the good news is, folks, that people are waking up, because it's getting very obvious that the people in the District of Criminals do not have our best interest at hand. On today's show, we're going to be talking about energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And this is going to blow your mind, folks, what Dr. Wood is going to tell you about what actually brought down the World Trade Center. So I hope that you will tune in and listen to the show, and please do feel free to call in if you have any questions. She has been researching this for some time. I'll bring her on after the break and introduce her. You will be very impressed with her resume. So, folks, stay tuned for this show because this is going to tell you things that you didn't want to know but which you do need to know. Everybody's pretty much in the know in terms of the fact that the World Trade Center was brought down. But how it was brought down is another whole matter. And that's what you're going to learn about today with Dr. Judy Wood. We'll bring her on after the break. So stay tuned, folks. Be right back. Welcome back to What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons. And my special guest is Dr. Judy Wood. Her website is drjudywood.com. She's a former professor of mechanical engineering with research interests in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, optical methods, deformation analysis, and materials characterization of biomaterials and composite materials. She's a member of the Society for Experimental Mechanics, co-founded SCM's Biological Systems and Materials Division, and currently serves on the SCM Composite Materials Technical Division. She received her bachelor's degree in civil engineering and structural engineering, her MS in engineering mechanics, and her PhD in materials and engineering science from the Department of Engineering, Science, and Mechanics at Virginia Polytech Institute and the State University in Blacksburg, Virginia. Her dissertation involved the development of an experimental method to measure thermal stresses in biomaterial joints. She has taught courses including experimental stress analysis, engineering mechanics of materials, which involves the strength of materials, and strength of materials testing. From 1999 to 2006, Dr. Wood has been an assistant professor in the Mechanical Engineering Department at Clemson University in Clemson, South Carolina. Before moving to Clemson, she spent 3 years as a postdoctoral research associate in the Department of Engineering, Science, and Mechanics at Virginia Tech. Dr. Wood is currently writing a book with Morgan Reynolds based on the physical evidence for understanding and explaining the events on 9/11. One of Dr. Wood's research interests is biomimicry, or applying the mechanical structures of biological materials to engineering design using engineering materials. Other recent research has investigated the deformation behavior of materials and structures with complex geometrics and complex material properties such as fiber-reinforced composite materials and biological materials. She's an expert in the use of Moir interferometry, a full-field optical method that is used in stress analysis, as well as materials characterization and other types of interference. In recent years, she and her students have developed optical systems with various wavelengths and waveguides. She has over 60 technical publications in reference journals, conference proceedings, and edited monographs and special technical reports. She started to question the events of 9/11 on that same day when what she saw and heard on television was contradictory and appeared to violate the laws of physics. Since that day, she has used her knowledge of engineering mechanics to prove that the collapse of the World Trade Center Twin Towers could not have happened as the American public was told. And her list of articles that she's written is just too huge to even go into. So welcome to the show, Dr. Wood.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I'm not even sure where to start. Can you just tell our listeners?
We can start in Manhattan at the WTC and look around and see that there's no towers there.
Yes. Yes. And I was reading about something called the Hutchinson effect. And if you could possibly maybe explain that to our listeners, and how is that involved in what happened to the World Trade Center?
Well, what happened with the World Trade Center, I've been looking at the evidence, looking at the pictorial evidence. And in doing so, I listed various phenomena that I had come across, specific phenomena, and I'd given it various names that weren't, official names, but unique names to identify it with so I wouldn't bias my observations.
Mm-hmm.
Like fuzzballs, fuzzy blobs, dustification, just, new terms until I could figure out what these phenomena were. And, each one, and so I'd listed these. And then I came across some work of John Hutchison, and I was just totally shocked, blown out of the water, that there was a one-to-one correlation with each of the phenomena that I had listed with what he had produced on a small scale. Part of what the Hutchison effect is, levitation is probably the most popular one, but there's jellification of materials, fusing different materials together, that like a piece of wood in a block of aluminum. You can't melt aluminum and pour it over wood without the wood burning up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hard one to explain. There's another one with a butter knife embedded in aluminum. Material just turns to jelly and then re-solidifies later when the effects turn off. There's also disintegration of materials. It turns to dust, goes poof. A lot of strange effects. And he does it with interfering different energy fields, different kinds of energy fields. Electromagnetic, static, radio frequency, and who knows what the exact balance is. He's got a very good feel for it. And so knowing he had reproduced each one of these effects I had seen at Ground Zero was very intriguing. And so I looked into, how could we supersize what he's done on a large scale? And I think I found the answer to that. But it was quite accidental that I tripped upon it. But some of the interesting features I saw at Ground Zero were that it's still ongoing. It didn't stop 7 years ago.
What didn't stop 7 years ago?
The dustification. There are still materials breaking down there.
Wow.
That's why they're having a heck of a problem with Bankers Trust. They first, you know, the one that was across the street from Tower 2?
Right.
It had a gash in the front. They repaired it, replaced the beams that were, you know, torn out and destroyed, and then those beams began to disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to take the building apart. And they've only taken it halfway down, approximately, by now. Doesn't that seem strange after 7 years?
It certainly does seem strange.
The steel they replaced it with, you know, regions where that repair work had been done, the images of the steel there, looks like it's been at the bottom of the ocean for 100 years. How can steel on the inside of a building look like that way?
Mm-hmm. So could you try to explain in layman's terms what is it that you think that they did on that horrible day to bring these buildings down?
I don't know who they is.
Mm-hmm.
I know the physical effects of it. What we can see that we can, you know, prove to ourselves that is ongoing. Like, the buildings turned into dust in midair.
Yes.
And there was dust that landed. Solid objects didn't go thud on the ground. There's, you know, the earthquake analysis of it. It made less of an impact hitting the ground than did, you know, like a controlled demolition of a much, much smaller building.
Right.
For example, Building 7 was about equal to the force of a jackhammer on the sidewalk. A 47-story building with each floor about the area of a football field. Now, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was whisper quiet. It should be like 20,000 dump trucks crashing to the ground, like raining dump trucks. So why was it so quiet? Did the building really hit the ground? And then we notice the dust once it hits the ground, and you have a clear blue sky. You know, it settles out very quickly. And then pretty soon you start getting this haze rising up. So that haze could not have settled out in 15 minutes. It had to have arrived on the ground as coarse dust, and then continue to break down into finer and finer dust. That is pretty intriguing.
Exactly.
And think of what you would need to do to disconnect every molecule in the building. That's an amazing technology, worthy of studying.
Definitely.
Think of good things we could do with that technology. Free energy. No one needs to go hungry. No one needs to be short of energy. We can think of other things to do with our abilities instead of worrying about, you know, running on a treadmill 24 hours a day.
Exactly. So where do you think this technology emanated from? Where did they set off this weapon?
Oh, on that day, the technology being developed, it's been around for 100 years.
Yeah,
in a small scale, maybe even larger scale, with Nikola Tesla.
Right.
I don't know, you know, who pushed buttons where, and that isn't so important as the fact that something horrendous happened on that day. and it's very much worthy of studying it, and it's, you know, pretty mind-boggling that folks don't want to study it. They could look at it as a gift. You know, it's horrible what it was used for, but if that's out there, it can be used again and again, and that should be a concern.
Definitely.
But the health effects of it ongoing is very troubling.
Yes.
I was up there as recently as January, and as soon as you step out of your vehicle, you know, you get a horrible sore throat. And I could tell which part of the complex as I walked around gave me a worse sore throat than another. And you still see the fuming coming from the ground here and there.
Wow. And obviously, I'm sure that has a lot to do with the fact that they haven't been able to erect their memorial in that spot. They keep using excuses why they haven't done it, but I'm sure...
But isn't it interesting why they want to erect a memorial there?
Yes.
Because they can't build on it.
Very interesting. Okay, I hear the music. We're going to a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned, folks, and call in if you have any questions. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy. My special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And Dr. Wood, could you mention some of the anomalies at the World Trade Center that you observed when you went there that show that this was definitely not the situation that they told us it was? In other words, that the planes crashed into the building and brought the buildings down. Everybody knows that, but you had some very interesting anomalies that you were talking about on your website.
Well, thanks. First of all, yeah, my website, drjudywood.com, and I'm in the process of making a new webpage. There's a link at the top. You can go to that and see some pictures, but also there's an FAQ page, Frequently Asked Questions,
mm-hmm.
and I've got some graphics there that will give you an idea of what interference of energy fields might be like, how to visualize it. But there's a list of principal data that needs to be explained by whatever story, and the official story doesn't do it, that they were destroyed. The buildings were destroyed faster than can be explained by free fall. The ground shook for 8 seconds, and it would take 9.22 in a vacuum for the roof to hit the ground.
Wow.
In other words, the buildings went away faster than they could fall. Yeah, dust doesn't make a thud when it hits. They underwent mid-air pulverization. You know, things can turn into dust if the floor slammed against each other, but then they couldn't go down fast because that would be, you know, obstruction of each. So, but they're flying through the air, just turning into dust. And the protective bathtub that held out the Hudson River, that because the bottom of the World Trade Center was built, the bottom seven stories were built under the water table. So there's this bathtub liner that holds out the Hudson River. And it wasn't destroyed. And there was more damage to it from the earth-moving equipment after 9/11 than the destruction of two 500,000-ton buildings on top of it. Doesn't make any sense.
Certainly doesn't.
There's rail lines that go under the Hudson that connect to the basement of the bathtub. They weren't destroyed. Neither was the tunnel going under the Hudson. If it had been, you would have flooded Manhattan. And the mall right underneath the ground level survived. I'd like to point out, my favorite is the Warner Brothers characters, Roadrunner and Foghorn Leghorn, life-size characters, and they didn't have a scratch on them. And let's see, there's the towers were destroyed from the top down. So why would that be? That's not consistent with any sort of destruction mechanism to date that we have seen. The seismic impact that the towers made when they hit the ground was equivalent to 80% of the building being removed and only the bottom 16 to 20 floors hitting the ground. In other words, if you disappeared the top 90 stories of Tower 1 and just dropped a something that has the same footprint that's 20 stories tall. If you slam that down, it would make the same seismic impact that was seen. So what happened to the other 90 stories? And for Building 7, it's equivalent to the seismic impact was equivalent to the bottom 2.5 stories. Now, something's not right here. There's only one file cabinet that survived and had these colored dividers in it. No toilet survived. That, to me, is striking. How many toilets were in a building of that size? You know, that serves 50,000 people? You'd have a whole lot of ceramic toilets.
Exactly.
You should see some piece of some toilet somewhere. None. But there was office paper everywhere. Papers up and down the street that didn't burn. And they were sitting next to these vehicles that looked like they were burning. But why didn't the paper catch fire if the cars were indeed burning? And that brings us to the strange cars. I call them toasted cars. I don't mean as in burn, necessarily. I just mean destroyed. They're toast. They're history. They look like they could be burned, or some are just missing their engine. But the hood of the car is still down. So why is the engine gone, but the gas tank is intact? And my favorite one, the door handles. Whatever it was, likes to attack door handles and door latches. So sometimes it would free trunk lids to pop up. But there's at least 1,400 of these toasted vehicles around in southern Manhattan, some as far over as FDR Drive. Parking lot full of them, with a sea of unburned paper in between. So why didn't the paper burn? Then there are vertical round holes that were cut into buildings 4, 5, and 6. You can see them from a sky view or a helicopter view of the complex. These 24-foot diameter approximately size holes, cylindrical holes, just like a post hole digger. And Building 6, like the whole middle half of the building had been hollowed out, right down to ground level, but not below ground level. Just this big open void. And there's testimony from a first responder who was actually in the lobby of Building 6. When it went poof.
Okay, we're going to a break. Let's get to that after the break. And we also have a caller on the line, Sheldon from Arizona. Hold on, Sheldon. We'll get to you after the break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And before we bring our caller on, Dr. Wood, could you please finish what you were saying about the first responder?
That was in the hole in Building 6.
Yes.
Yeah, they were there when it happened. They described everything going black, like total blackout of the sunlight because of this dense cloud, and you know some strange noises. And then when the dust cleared, he could look up at the blue sky. In other words, the 8 stories of building that had been above him were gone. It was just blue sky up there. And the people who he was with, some of them were there and some of them were gone. If you were standing in the wrong place, you were gone. Just disappeared.
So they got vaporized along with the buildings.
Not vaporized, but I don't know what the process is, so that's why I say dustified.
Okay.
Vaporized has a particular meaning, and I don't think that applies. It applies to, you know, high heat.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're just gone. And he mentioned that he knew there was no point in looking for them, that they're just gone. You know, he felt, you know, sort of a survivor's remorse of, why did he survive? Why did he happen to, you know, be right where he was and not get disappeared? That must have been just a horrendous, mind-blowing experience.
Definitely. So have you shared with any of the people that were there the results of your investigation?
Some people. What do you mean? You know, some people who lived in the area, I've spoken with.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mainly been looking at the evidence, because we know it was a psychological operation. The biggest clue about that is the building is gone, down to ground level. Why is it taking so long for someone to ask, where'd the building go?
Exactly.
That's why I know it's a psychological operation. And in such an event, you know, people's minds are not like tape recorders. People put together the best story they can with what they're exposed to. And I think, you know, humans have a need to have their questions answered. They keep asking questions until they get an answer. So if they're immediately given an answer, they stopped asking questions. And one of my favorite ones is the boots melting in 2 hours. You know, the story of the hot molten metal.
Mm-hmm.
And how boots melted in just 2 hours, and there's lots of those stories. But we don't have a single story of the feet inside the boots
mm-hmm.
being burned.
Good point.
Now, steel-toed boots melting, but the you put a chicken inside your oven, and it gets cooked if the metal of the oven is getting it melted.
Exactly. So
now,
how do you explain that? How did they not get...
How'd they explain it? Oh, they don't explain that. It's just that story gets repeated over and over again, and people quit asking questions when they get answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to trick them. Because to rethink it means you're having to relive the event, and who wants to do that?
Exactly.
So you're a first responder. You're told why your boots are falling apart. It's because the heat is melting them, and fine, you're good to go. You get another pair of boots on, so forth. But if you stop to think about it, that doesn't make sense. But if there's another process going on where the boots are actually breaking down from molecular dissociation, the boots might be breaking down, coming apart. So people need an answer for that.
Exactly. Well, let's bring Sheldon on. Are you there, Sheldon?
Hello, Dr. Carley.
Hello.
Yeah, I've been listening to your shows for a while now. They're just fantastic. Out of curiosity, is your co-host Janet Phelan tuned in today?
I'm not sure.
Oh, anyway, if people don't want to conceptualize what Dr. Wood's saying about these fires, you can make an analogy to rubbing your hands with bleach. It feels like your hands are burning, but that doesn't mean they are burning. Is that how you described it, Dr. Wood?
Oh, that's an excellent analogy.
Yeah, because some people
Yeah, your hands would be burning with bleach in them, but if you stick a thermometer in, it would tell you a different story.
Right. And, you know, for 4 years now, I've been a fan of the controlled demolitions in the buildings, but keep in mind... there are 7 buildings that came down that day. This isn't talked about very often, and I notice that people like Alex Jones don't talk about it either, but as long as it had a WTC prefix, all 7 buildings in that complex came down that day. See, you know, I think a lot of people in this official 9/11 truth movement have just been brainwashed, and I believe there's trolls out there that have been set up to control our thinking. Judy Wood has a great quote on her site. It says, the best way to control the opposition is to control it themselves. I believe that's
to lead it.
Yeah, to lead it themselves. I believe that's what we're seeing with this so-called official 9/11 truth movement. But anyway, Dr. Wood has been a great inspiration to me, and she's gotten me to actually start thinking more deeply on my own about this, and I appreciate you having her on today.
Oh, and I want to thank you for referring me to her work. And, yes, it's so important. There's so many disinformers out there. It's in all areas. And I totally agree with what you're saying, that they lead us down the wrong path. And the controlled demolition aspect to it is bad enough. But when you actually get to the next level of what they're capable of doing, it's so shocking and horrifying that most people can't even wrap their head around it.
Yeah, we're talking about an exotic weaponry here that has the ability to turn this planet into another asteroid belt. It's just, we're dealing with the survival of the human race here with the technology that was employed that day. It's imperative that we try to get her on as many shows as possible to get the word out on this.
I definitely agree with you. I mean, with everything that they're doing between the inoculations, creating all these diseases and these weapons such as this, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's very gets very depressing, actually. You know, you wonder, how are we possibly going to put a stop to all this, these mad scientists and what they're capable of doing? It's really very disgusting.
Sure is. They're coming at us from every imaginable avenue they can think of. And so glad you had you're carrying Dr. Wood on your show today. Don't forget to mention them. Well, you know, the former talk show host Chris Gerner, he woke me up to the realization about the fact that they're steering and engineering these hurricanes. Well, Dr. Wood has come upon an incredible piece of evidence here in her investigation about a hurricane headed right towards New York City on 9/11, and I'm going to let her expound on that. Anyway, I'll listen off air.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Thank
you. Yes, please do expound on that, Dr. Wood.
That's impressive. He's really looked at my website. That's impressive.
Yes.
I was looking at this dustification and the fumes that continued for, you know, months, years. And last time I was there in January, poof, up they, you know, they're coming up. They bring in dirt, they truck in dirt, they stir it around, they truck it back out, kind of like mopping up something with a sponge. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to focus in on this plume more carefully. And I saw one particular picture, a satellite image, where the white stuff is going up and southward, and the black stuff is going west over the Hudson. Imagine, you know, the fumes going in two different directions depending on the color. And I need to get different angles, so I thought, okay, let's go look at some weather satellite images. And what? What's this thing? This huge hurricane right outside of New York City on 9/11. And looking at the path of it, it went from Bermuda straight in a very straight line directly towards New York City. And when it got right outside New York City, it stopped, got bigger, spread out. So if it got bigger, it slowed down a little bit, but it didn't mean it was less powerful. The power was spread over a larger area. Turned around, and then it was the closest in the morning of 9/11, and then it started heading back out to sea the afternoon of 9/11. Like it, you know, reported for duty, did his job, and turned around and left. Mighty peculiar. And I started looking into that more and found that it was, yeah, for the 24 hours surrounding 9/11, the hurricane's wind speed was constant, the pressure was constant, it was approximately a constant distance from New York City. No, it wasn't on top of New York City. It was just outside of town. The outer bands where it was raining were at the tip of Long Island. But there are reports of thunder at JFK Airport, LaGuardia Airport, Newark Airport, you know, and all the major airports surrounding Ground Zero, southern Manhattan, which is mighty strange. Why do you have thunder? It's like dry thunder? That's field effects.
Wow.
So what does that have in common with the Hutchison effect? He interferes different types of fields, electromagnetic fields, radio frequency. Let's look at a hurricane. My goodness, doesn't that look like a huge Tesla coil, a supersized Tesla coil? You have the spiral thing on the stem and then this big donut-shaped kind of toroid thing on the top. And you get an arcing between that top thing and the ground. You get the lightning bolts and so forth there. And you can sense when a storm is coming. As people who have arthritis are very sensitive to feeling the weather coming, feeling something's going to happen.
Right.
Their joints hurt and whatnot. So us humans have the ability to sense that field. There's other issues that go on with that field. Tornadoes are similar as well. There's this big flat plate up above and then a little stem that sticks down. It is arcing between the ground and the cloud. So you look at what else goes on with tornadoes and hurricanes, and you find images of flipped cars. Materials emerge together. Like, you remember the story we hear about straw going through trees? Well, isn't that kind of like the wood in the aluminum that John Hutchison produced?
Wow.
Where materials seem to, dissimilar materials seem to fuse together? That straw is not strong enough to stab a hole through a tree.
Wow.
How does it, you know, like, embed itself in glass? Or some really weird stories. And it's not the speed it's traveling. Because then the force has still got to be equal on either side. And there's, cars just get lifted up and they get gently set down someplace else, like on top of a tree, without a scratch on them. On my website, I have pictures from Hurricane Andrew that show a car sitting on a fence, another one with a piece of plywood right through the middle of a tree, another one with a two-by-four through the stem of a palm tree, pretty high up off the ground, just sticking through it. It looks just fine, except it happens to be located right through a tree. They're mighty strange things.
And how are they producing this weather? Is that with a HAARP machine in Alaska?
I don't know how they produced it, but I think it's a pretty good conclusion that they did produce it, because why didn't they tell us about it? You have this huge hurricane. They anticipate it would be bigger than Katrina. Be more powerful than Katrina. You know, 72 hours out, the predictions of the wind speeds were far greater than they had predicted Katrina 72 hours out. And so why didn't they alert anyone, saying, well, we're hoping it's going to, you know, bypass New York, but in case it does, we, you know, folks, we might want to think about evacuating, because, you know, New York is almost at sea level, like, you know, 10, 20 feet above sea level for southern Manhattan. Of the water table. Imagine if you had a storm surge that you get from hurricanes, especially if it's stationary, just parked right outside of town. Like JFK Airport. That's really, I think that's 12 feet above sea level. And then this little bay area where you could really get this huge surge just flooding the whole area. So just in case, shouldn't people be warned? And the weather map that morning, I've got some screenshots from NBC and ABC, you know, Good Morning America, whatever the early morning show is called, where they have the weather map, and it shows that part of the ocean. It shows no hurricane. Hmm. So you have this huge hurricane, like 500 miles in diameter, right outside New York City, but it's not on the weather map in the morning's weather. That seems mighty peculiar. So, to me, this looks like, you know, media complicity.
Definitely.
And it's not just foreplanning. I mean, it's not just foreknowledge, but actually foreplanning. You wouldn't want to scare people into packing up and leaving town if you want them to watch the fireworks show on their TV.
Exactly.
You don't want them to be evacuating. You want them to focus fully on it. So it also, the confidence that the hurricane's going to turn around and leave is so high that they don't need to warn anybody. That, to me, really strongly, strongly implies weather control. Other than, have you ever heard of a hurricane aimed straight for New York City to make a U-turn and head out to sea? I tried to find another hurricane on that same path to compare the data with. I couldn't find one. They go up the coast. I've not seen one that goes towards the coast. You know, they swing up from Florida, North Carolina, and then they kind of curve outward.
Right.
But this one was going perpendicular to that, which is a very strange motion.
So was this hurricane a side effect of whatever they did that day, or was this also done intentionally?
I think this was the gizmo. Imagine if they could make a hurricane. If hurricanes, through their field effects, can levitate things. You know, you've seen cars sitting in trees afterwards.
Right.
That's not from the wind. They don't have any scratches on them. Houses totally, you know, dislocated. But if that provides a field like a Tesla coil, in which you interfere another field, you can focus the destruction. let's say that's only one of the components. You have, let's say in your lab, in your basement, you have a Tesla coil. And then you have another energy field that you're going to interfere with that. And then maybe put voltage in some place in that field, like put some plates. Various things you could experiment with, I'm sure. I've not done it myself, but I can visualize it. And doing that in a small scale is one thing, but how do you do that in large scale? I think the hurricane played a part.
Okay, I hear the music. We're going to a break. We'll be right back, folks. Call in with questions. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And this is a short segment before we start the second hour, Dr. Wood, but if you could comment on the planes. There are some people that I know that have researched this that actually felt that there weren't even any planes, that was a massive holographic image. Of course, if there were planes, what happened to the planes? You know, why weren't there pieces of planes falling on the ground and things of that nature? What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know exactly what went on visually at the scene, but what I do know is that a big Boeing would not make a cookie cutter cutout of a big Boeing in the side of a building except in Wile E. Coyote cartoons. There's actually a human that, you know, made sense there. You know, children see those Roadrunner cartoons and they laugh because it's ridiculous physics. There's a radio announcer who was just arrived at the scene on 9/11. He looked up and said, "There's an airplane-shaped, you know, snicker, snicker, you know, giggle hole in the building." So he recognized it as being silly. And then he realized the inappropriateness of giggling at the time, but it just seemed so ridiculous to see an airplane-shaped hole cut out of a building. Yeah, airplanes do not make airplane-shaped holes. And if you think about the wingtip, you know, out there on the wingtip, it's 5 inches tall, and there was like a 5-inch slice through steel columns. Huh? You know, that got me. It's like, okay, something weird is going on here. There's a lot of interesting thoughts you can have about how that hole got there, but, you know, a big Boeing would not make an airplane-shaped hole in the building.
I totally agree with you. The whole thing is bizarre. And just even realizing the extent of the conspiracy involved here, how many people must have been involved, it's like I said before, it's hard to even wrap your head around it.
But they don't realize they were involved. Like the people repeating the stories about the steel-toed boots, they're not telling a lie. That's what they believe because they're told that and they just repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're without realizing what they're doing. And there's, people across this country and around the world saw those pictures on their TV sets. But they don't realize that they see pictures of, you know, Star Trek spacecraft, you know, on their TV set.
Exactly.
What's the difference? Well, they're told that that's not real. And they were told this was real.
Well, in my experience, trying to wake people up as to how my profession is killing people and creating disease, one of the problems is that people, they can't even conceive of anything this evil. And so they look for an excuse to explain what happened that day because they don't want to believe the obvious fact that this was done on purpose to bring us into where we're going with this whole New World Order thing and so that they could have an excuse to go to war. I mean, it's so obvious, but your information definitely brings it to the next level.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think the most important thing is to think, you know, how did we get here? We got here by turning over our thinking to the TV set or to whomever.
Yes.
And
tell lie vision. That's what I call it, tell lie vision. It's telling lies to your vision. And it's really hysterical, actually, seeing all the commercials they have telling people that they're going to digital in February of next year. Isn't it interesting how desperate they are to make sure everybody's still hooked up to the boob tube?
Yeah, and also so they can monitor what you're watching.
Oh, and monitor us. Yes, they're watching us.
Yeah, because they can't monitor it through, like, you know, rabbit ears.
Exactly.
I don't believe.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be back after the break, and we have another caller on the line, Frank of Virginia. Hold on, Frank. We'll get to you after the break. Stay tuned, folks. So our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And we have a caller on the line, Frank in Virginia. Are you there, Frank?
Hi, Dr. Wood. Well, right now, as you know, we're in an economic crisis, and we're having to give $700 billion to buy out worthless securities. And how could this free energy that was used to dustify the towers, how could that be used for good? What could it mean for people instead of having to pay all this money for worthless securities? What if they put $700 billion into free energy?
That would be a dream come true. But then, you know, you control the energy, you control the people, and you have power over them. So it kind of defeats the motivation, doesn't it? If you empower the people, you would lose your power.
Yeah. How long do you think that we could have had this free energy?
100 years at least.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've been studying Nikola Tesla for years, and he'd actually built a tower in Long Island.
Yes.
That the banksters made sure, J.P. Morgan especially, that it didn't proceed forward. He had the capability 100 years ago to give us energy all over this country without electrical wires. This has been available for 100 years.
And that was his goal, is to give that gift to the world.
Exactly.
And something that few people realize, alternating current is what he gave to us as well.
Do you think there's some reason why don't we demand that we have this free energy? Why don't we go out and tell our congresspeople that we've got to have it?
They aren't our congresspeople.
No, they're all sellouts. I mean, they're all puppets in Washington. They all know exactly what the plan is. And if they're not willing to go along with the plan, then they're not allowed to stay there. And they're selling us out in every way, every day. And it does have to be the people that do something about it. And I always say I don't promote a revolution, but rather an evolution of consciousness. We have to wake up as many people as possible as to all of these things that are going on. To make them understand, we have to do it. And how are we going to do that? I don't claim to have all the answers, but I know it's got to be the people. Forget the Congress.
Do both of you think that people know about this free energy, but they, for some reason, they're somehow stupefied, somehow mind controlled, that they don't act on what they know?
Well, first of all, half the people in this country are on psychiatric drugs. We've got fluoride in the water, which is another way that they mind control people. They're keeping everybody very busy. You know, there's so many people that have autistic children or sick parents. I mean, they're keeping us busy in every way possible. A lot of people know about Tesla. But I will say it's very interesting. When I was in college, I never heard his name except for Tesla units, which I don't even remember exactly what that measures. But I was not taught about Nikola Tesla in college or medical school. I learned about him on my own. But there's a lot of people that know. It's just everybody doesn't know what to do. But I will say I had no idea that they could use that technology to bring down the towers. This is another whole level, as I said.
Well, doesn't the fact that the towers are dustified, doesn't that prove that we have free energy?
Please comment, Dr. Wood.
Yes, it's a demonstration that it works. If there's any question about it, that removes all doubt.
So,
and we all saw, if you open your eyes and look, you can see the, I call them wheat checks, the outer columns. When they made the building, they made prefab units of three columns wide, three-fourths tall. You see those things flying through the air, and they never hit the ground.
Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up?